Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Now to Washington, D.C., where students are back in the classroom for the first time in almost a year. D.C. public schools have been open for in-person learning for about a week. So how's it going so far? Here to tell us is Debbie Trung. She's an education reporter for member station WAMU in Washington. And Debbie, how many students have returned to the classroom?
So D.C. public schools said that they can accommodate about 15,000 students for in-person learning. Of that, 9,500 students actually said that they would show up, and actually fewer ended up showing up on the first day of school last week.
So you spoke with some families about how they made the difficult decision to send their children back to school or not. What did they tell you?
DC public schools prioritize bringing back special education students, English language learners, and students in low-income families. At the same time, many of the low-income families here in DC are also Black and Hispanic groups of people that have suffered disproportionately during this pandemic. On the one hand, while, you know, many of these students may benefit from in-person learning, their families could face some of the hardest consequences if a family member gets sick and can't work, or worse. You know, I spoke with Alexandra Simbana. She herself had COVID last year and has sort of preemptively told her daughter's school that she will not be returning her 8-year-old back to the classroom for the foreseeable future. Alexandra is also in touch with many of the immigrant Spanish-speaking families at her daughter's school, which is Cleveland Elementary. And she said that many of those families are also choosing to keep their families home for exactly those same fears.
They know they're at risk. They know this is detrimental to not only their health, but their financial situations. Top of mind for them is keeping their families alive.
On the other hand, you know, of course, there's the social and emotional benefits of being in a classroom and being around your peers. And so many other parents also said that they were willing to have their children go back so that they could have those richer, in their view, academic and social experiences.
I see. So for those students who have gone back then, Debbie, what does the classroom look like right now? I think that a lot of listeners maybe are in similar positions where their districts are either getting ready to go back and they're listening and wondering, how does it work? Because some students are still learning remotely.
Yeah. So students arrive on a staggered schedule. They have to keep in the same room of 10 or 11 students for the entire school day. Lunch is eaten inside the classroom. There are, of course, all of the safety procedures, social distancing, face mask requirements. And when it comes down to actual learning, in some schools, students are back once or twice a week in person, and they spend the rest of the week virtual. In other classrooms, you know, students may be in the classroom, you know, 4 days a week while a teacher is teaching them, also broadcasting to the rest of the class, which is logging on virtually. It really varies across the school system, but nothing like it was pre-pandemic.
No, and it took a long time to get to this point, right? Because there has been months of contention between the school district and its teachers. Just last Monday, the DC public school system actually requested that a judge grant a temporary restraining order against the teachers union to avoid a potential strike. So how many teachers have returned, Debbie, and how are they feeling?
So for context, about 4,200 staff members were expected to return last week. About 2,200 of those were teachers. And while there were some teachers who volunteered to return to the classroom, the majority did not. And so they were required to go into in-person teaching, even if they didn't necessarily feel comfortable doing that. And teachers have had the opportunity to get the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. But there were a lot of teachers who were pushing to delay the start of reopening until they could get that second dose. And obviously that didn't happen. And DC Public Schools has provided personal protective equipment. They've updated ventilation and HVAC systems. But, you know, many teachers expressed to me that they've long had a mistrust in the school system, and it's hard to bridge that in this moment when there's so much at stake.
So as you say, most students are continuing to learn remotely. Do we expect that to keep up, Debbie, or is the district expecting that more students in the coming weeks will trickle back in and other schools ready to handle a scaled up in-person learning environment?
I definitely think that more students will show up in the coming weeks. And right now, 9,500 students are expected to be back in person. The school system says it can accommodate many thousands more.
Yeah, like every district, D.C. is learning how to do learning in an entirely new world. Debbie Truong is an education reporter for member station WAMU. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Cal.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. So I have been told. Black History Month 2021. So I have been told. Super excited about the broadcast for today. Extremely important. We will hop right to it. Just making sure folks are aware. We will be broadcasting the book club, man oh man, for this broadcast for sure. Reading is more important than watching television. That's it. Book club tomorrow, that is Thursday, February 11, our 12th study session on Jeffrey Toobin, The Run of His Life. Oh, I am so excited. Not quite as excited about our program for tomorrow as I am for today, but I'm still looking forward like the glove demonstration. Historic moment. It was in the FX series and all the rest of it. That'll be the portion for tomorrow. We almost have, yeah, that'll be for tomorrow, but same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Orenthal James Simpson. Alrighty. Broadcast for today. It is, man, difficult to believe it's been a full year of the COVID-19 pandemic and all of the chaos and brawling over toilet paper and everything else that has accompanied the last 12 months. And it has certainly been extraordinarily stressful for Gus T on a daily basis in all types of ways. People have talked about the delays in mail and grocery shortages, and then they've got lines at the stores and people being out of work and distancing, and not to mention if you actually know someone or you yourself have had health problems as a result of all this. It's just been a lot to manage, and I think many folks have said throughout the past year that yes, some of the older folks, they may be disgruntled, we may be disgruntled about what is happening, but younger folks, they are also having a tough time with everything that is transpiring. Just saying, you know, if you think it's rough having your work situation disrupted and all the rest of it, like imagine being in school, you're 13 and you have no idea, like when all of this started, basically this time last year, no idea. When are we going to get back to a regular school schedule? Seems like the adults are super confused. They don't know what's going on. Like, what in the world? And then it's like that for a year where it still seems every bit as confusing and just trying to figure things. Anywhere in that continuum, I said 13. Imagine being 5. Imagine being 17. You're on a football team or a club. Not football. Let's take that out. Hopefully not. Soccer team, tennis, basketball, anything. And you've had all of that disrupted. If you're looking to be doing the whole college thing and you got SAT prep and everything and to have all that disrupted, it's just been a lot to manage over the last 12 months. And I thought it would be spectacular. And I mean in line, Black History Month, to hush. This is a great time. I will use my mute button and just allow these young scholars to kind of share what this past year has been like, what's been difficult, what have they enjoyed about it, see if we have any young people who've maybe transitioned to homeschooling in the midst of all this, but just to see, allow them to kind of step forward and share what the last 12 months has been like for some of our young scholars, non-white people. If we have any young folks out there and you would like to join us, let me give out the number. I had lots of difficulty that caused a slight delay in me being able to get ready to broadcast today, but I was finally able to get on the broadcast line. The number 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I know I reached out to some folks, some of our listeners, and they said, oh, yes, definitely. I know some younger folks who would love the opportunity to participate, share some of their views and such. But even if you did not communicate in advance or what have you, if you were able to speak to a younger person sometime, even today, and they said, yes, agreeable, would love it, like to grab a line and share a thought or two, no problem, just press *61 and we will get you on the line. I'll see if, you know, they're interested in taking a question or two. We'll do that as well, but we'll try to make the bulk and at least the first portion of the broadcast just about these young scholars sharing what it has been like the last year or so. I certainly have a few questions to ask, just, you know, satisfy my own curiosity, but I really want to give them an opportunity to kind of own the platform. So we will get to the line, *61. Again, I had difficulties, so maybe some other people had difficulties too. So we'll see if there's any interference. Goodness knows we've had lots of that over the last dozen years. But we shall see. Let's see. All right, so going to the phone line. And like I said, I'm going to get hands for folks to see if we have younger folks who are with us and sharing thoughts, views about what has gone down the last 12 years. So first few, well, I'll open up, I'll tell us so people can be prepared. The first few folks who have hands up, I'll open all the lines up, right? So we can give basic introduction. You can even take a moment or two and think if you want to share your real name or if you want to have a handle. I'm all about anonymity. If you want to preserve some safety, especially for a younger person, you don't want to, you know, be identified with your government name, as they say. I'll give folks a moment if you want to think up a handle, how you'd like to be referenced during the broadcast. But we'll just do a basic introduction, what you want to be called, if you are comfortable giving your age, right? Just so people can kind of locate where you are in the school system process. And then, let's see, age, name, and then I guess if you're comfortable with geographic location, you can share. If not, that's totally fine. If you don't want to say, and I mean, you can be as narrow or as wide as you want to. If you just want to say state, like for me, if you just want to say Washington State, A plus. If you want to say the city, that's fine. Whatever you're comfortable with sharing. I just say geographic location because we started with a segment in Washington, D.C., and they're talking about getting students back in school. It varies so much. That's the only reason that I think it might be significant, important, informative to have that information about geographic location, because it has been widespread difference. Sometimes even within the same state, in terms of what the policy is going to be. Are we going back to school? When are we going back to school? What is our reopening process? What does that look like? How many students are we allowing in a classroom? And that type of thing. It has just been wildly different depending on jurisdiction. So if you're comfortable sharing that, that would be great so we can kind of see some of the differences, right, and how all of this is going. Anything that you are not comfortable sharing, don't share. Whatever, you know, you think will be great, and hopefully you'll have parent, guardian there with you to kind of help out if, you know, any moment seems like, well, I don't know if I want to share that with everybody. No problem. Err on the side of caution. So we'll just do basic intros. Name, age, geographic location. And then I guess if there's anything else that you'd like to share, and then we'll kind of go around with some of the basic questions just about the last year and that sort of thing. So first few folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open, and we'll just go one by one, nabbing all the folks who are with us. All righty. Okay, I think we got
Hello.
Everybody. Heard one person. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Khalif. I'm 11 years old, and I go to... No, I'm in Gurnee, Illinois.
Awesome.
I'm in District 56. And I just started on 56.
District 56 in Illinois. Can you give us your name one more time, please?
My name's Khalif.
Khalif. Awesome. And you said you're how many years old?
11.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We're so happy to have you with us. Khalif, 11, Illinois. So we'll kind of keep that as we see how different or how similar. Maybe we'll have people who have similar experience. So we got Khalif. Any other folks with us?
Hi.
Greetings. We can hear you.
I'm Josephine, I'm 13, and I live in New York, Queens.
Awesome. Okay, so we have Josephine, Khalif is in Illinois, Josephine is in New York, Queens specifically, and you said you're 13, is it Josephine?
Yes.
Awesome. Josephine, 13 years old in Queens, New York. Okay. I know we have other listeners in the New York area, so maybe we'll have some overlap. That'll be great, too. Khalif, Josephine, any other folks we have with us?
I'm Marquise. I'm 10 in fourth grade, and I go to Beach Park Middle School. No, not Kenneth Murphy. Kenneth Murphy. My bad.
All good. Kenneth Murphy. And how old are you again, Marquise?
10.
Okay. All right. We have a nice little cluster. Kenneth Murphy. And I don't want to be too specific. Did you say where you are? If you didn't say it, don't even worry about it. But did you say what area geographically you are located in?
I'm in Illinois.
Got two in Illinois. My goodness. President Obama, big smile. All right, so we have Marquise, 10 in Illinois. Khalif, 11, also in Illinois. Josephine, 13, Queens, New York. Let's see. Other folks who are with us, or just let us know. Same information, name, location, if you're comfortable, and age.
Hi, my name is Z, and my age is 10, and I live in Southern California.
Awesome. I am so jealous. Southern California, best weather. So you said you're 10. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Z.
Did you say a Z?
Just the letter Z.
Oh, I'm struggling. One more time with lots of volume, black self-respect.
My name is Z. The letter Z.
Z, I got it. I'm a little slow, but I got it. Much obliged. Thank you for being patient. Z in Southern California, 10 years old. Thank you so much for joining us and being patient. So we have Z. Marquise, who is 10 in Illinois, Khalees, 11, also in Illinois. Josephine, who is 13, in Queens. Awesome little cluster so far that we have going. Anybody else that we missed? Anybody else? Got everyone so far? Making sure I didn't miss anyone. Okay. If we missed anybody out there, if you're listening in, if you have younger folks, if they're maybe a little occupied right now, if they put the PS5 down for a moment and then they want to join the discussion, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943, pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Wow. All right, so this is you all's platform. I'm so thankful for having you all here to just kind of share what the last year has been like, especially since we have a lot of you all are kind of in the same age group. So that'll be really interesting to see, you know, what's been similar, what's been different. So definitely things that you want to share, that you want to talk about, we'll make time. I just kind of have an easy question we can start with, and then we can get right to what your school experience has been like. This one is for everybody, so we'll just go right down the line. We'll start with Z, our 10-year-old in Southern California. Z, if I may ask, what have you eaten today?
I ate a bean stew. With rice, with black rice. Oh, and potatoes too. Oh, and vegan brownies. Oh, yeah, and smoothie too.
Wow, I'm super jealous. Oh, I'm envious. Sorry, I'm so envious. She had a vegan brownie. I haven't had vegan brownies in a long time. I love black rice. It's been a minute since I've had black rice too. She said, the stew, smoothie. I had a smoothie. Now, I did have a smoothie today. I had a great smoothie just before we went live. Lots of vegetables. So I'm with you totally on the smoothie. Z, in Southern California, I'm not surprised. They have all kinds of wonderful veggie options and vegan brownies. No surprise. You can eat very well in SoCal. So that is Z. Let's see. Josephine. In Queens, what did you eat today, ma'am?
I ate a bagel and cream cheese. Oh, sorry, my sister. I ate a bagel and cream cheese, and I ate a Beyond Burger or a vegan burger. And what else did I eat? Oh, that's it.
Wow, okay. Little sister is active. Love it. Saying hello. We got her in there too. Beyond Burger. Seems like we have lots of vegetable, whole food, plant-based eaters on the call so far. That is spectacular. You all are doing way better than I was at your age. Beyond Burger, bagel with cream cheese. Okay. So we got two. Let's see. Khalees, 11, Illinois. What have you eaten today?
This morning for breakfast, I had cereal, and for lunch, I had noodles, and my mom is making me vegan portobello mushroom burger for dinner.
Wow. Now, for listeners, I did not tell anybody that we were going to talk about food. I didn't, you know, try and tip the scale and be like, make sure you plan some sort of veggie meals and mushroom burgers. And so I did not do any of that. We were going to talk about school. We are going to talk about school. I just thought, you know, eating is important. Let's see what we ate today. Wow. Everyone eating well. Last but not least, Marquise, also in Illinois. What have you eaten today, sir?
I had waffles for breakfast. I had pizza for lunch. I had cereal. And I'm going to have cabbage soup for dinner.
I'm super envious. I have not had waffles since the retreat in Washington, D.C. We had waffles there, but waffles. Ah. And he still, now I've not had cabbage soup before. That is, I'll have to do some Google searching to see cabbage soup. But I love cabbage, love cabbage. Have always, I love cabbage since I was Marquise and Khalees and their age. But spectacular. I'm so overjoyed to hear our young people eating lots of vegetables. That's something young people, older people benefit, getting more smoothies in. If you're going to eat brownies, vegan brownies, they have lots of recipes. Apparently they taste pretty good if we have children. She didn't sound like she had to be, you know, handcuffed and force-fed the vegan brownie. Sounded like, hey, I've had great meals, plan to get some more goodies in. Love it. Kudos to all of the parents, guardians who are pitching in and sharing great plant-based meals with your offspring. A+ attempted counter-racist parenting. All right. What we came to talk about, the food, school aspect. And certainly, like I said, anything that you all want to make sure that we discuss, share. I'll just start off and I'll ask this one to everyone. What have you enjoyed most about being away from school, if you have? And I guess within this, if you can kind of share, what has it been like? Has school closed? Have you been out of school? Have you been in school? Have you been away for a little while and then it started back up? Like, just kind of tell us a little bit about your experience. And then within that, what have you enjoyed the most about this change the past 12 months? And then what's been the most challenging about the last 12 months? And like I said, we'll get to everybody. So let's see, we'll start, we'll switch the order up a little bit. Let's see, we'll start with Khalees. She's in Illinois, and I guess we'll keep that in mind geographically, right, to see what this has looked like in different areas. So Khalees in Illinois, kind of tell us a little bit about what your last 12 months of school has been like, and then what have you liked most? What's been the most challenging?
My name's pronounced like with the F, Khalees, and I'm a boy.
Khalees, my and, apologies.
And these last 12 months, school changed because we had to go back to, we had to do school online on the iPads, which is very annoying because it's hard to get work done on our iPads.
My apologies.
The thing I like most about it is that I can still talk to my friends and teachers on there, but just not in person though.
Okay. My apologies. It's Khalees with an F. Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, it's a PH.
Got it.
Yes.
Khalees. Sorry, sir. And you said the thing that you have enjoyed the most, still being able to see and talk to your friends, classmates, teachers, and all the rest, but it has not been as fun. Just doing this on your app, iPad, for the past 12 months, that's what's been the most challenging?
Yes.
Is there, do you know if you all are going to be doing the iPad, doing school just through your computer for the rest of the year? Or have they told you, you know, hey, we might be coming back in the spring? Do you know that information?
We've been let back in our school this week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. That's recent change. So I guess what have the last couple days been like?
It's been good. They still let some kids like stay at home on their iPads.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to go back in school so I can actually do my work better since school is better. I know how to do my work with the teachers and everybody there.
Wow. Okay. What's it been like at school? Like, have they made lots of changes to keep you all safe?
Yeah, they made lots of changes. We have to wear a mask around the school, and we get a mask break, though. And we have to stay 6 feet apart. They have dots on the floor where we stand at, so we can stay 6 feet apart from everyone.
Wow. Okay. just, I know it's only been 2 days, I feel you, but based on what you've seen the past couple of days, have the children that you've been around, have they been like following the rules, wearing the masks, staying on the dots? Have they been following the rules so far?
Yeah, they have. They keep their mask on and they stay on the dots. And yeah.
Okay. Wow. Were you, I guess, were you afraid about going back, or were you just more excited? Like, yes, I'm going to see my friends. It'll be easier for me to do my work.
I was more excited to go back to school because I like to be around my friends during school and sitting at the desk. I just like the school environment instead of staying at home on my iPad all day.
Amen for getting out of the house. So that is Khalif. That's, wow, like, just been back at school. Okay. So that's Khalif, 11, in Illinois, just back in school. So prior to this week, for the past, since I guess last March or so, you've been at home that entire time?
Yes, I have.
Wow. Wow.
And it's been, yeah, I've been at school since March, I want to say. Yeah, and it's been very, it wasn't good. It was, like, pretty boring.
Wow. That is a long time, especially at that age. Can you imagine? That's what I was saying, like, really, at any age, 5, 10, 17, like, oof, that is a long time to have. Yeah. Whew, man, I'm glad, glad you all are back and staying safe, man. Hope continue to be safe and keep up the good work. Let's see. Let's check in. Matter of fact, I was going to say, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have more? I'm sorry, Khalif.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been bad since I'm at my age, but my brother, he just graduated from middle school, and he had a virtual graduation, so I know he's been having it harder than me, because he's in high school, and now.
Oh. So your brother is a few years older than you, is that correct, or is that right?
Yes.
Okay. That's, now see there, a virtual graduation. Can you imagine? Like, I wasn't even, you know, super popular and all that, but you still want to be around your friends and be silly and all the rest of it when you're going to high school, and to miss all of that, like, tough year. Lots to miss out on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Thank you so much, Khalif. Now, he's in Illinois. Let's see.
You're welcome.
Let's see Marquise, who is also in Illinois, just to see, you know, is it the same statewide or if there's any difference. Marquise, at Keith Murphy, 10-year-old, what's your experience? So I'll give the same question. So if you can just kind of tell us in general, what's it been like the last 12 months, have you been at home or going to school, or has it changed? And then what have you liked most? What's been the most challenging?
It's Kenneth Murphy. And also in 6 months, it's been fine. But I didn't really like the experiences with the computers, because it was really frustrating trying to figure it all out and stuff. We're able to go back to school now, but you gotta follow all the same rules. And I chose to stay home because I didn't feel like doing all those, because it was much harder. So I'm staying home.
Kenneth Murphy, that's the school district, my fault. So you said, go ahead.
And also my sister had a virtual graduation too.
Wow. Congratulations to your sister. Congratulations. Do we know she graduated to which grade?
She's going to high school.
Wow. Oh, that's the same one. We just heard from Khalif. We said his brother graduated to high school. Same thing. That's, in my view, that's a lot to miss out on at that age. Those major kind of milestones and things. And it's kind of a group effort like that would, that I think for some folks, at least, even if you have three or four friends, like, hey, we're graduating, let's go get ice cream or something. And no. Congratulations though to your sibling. That's awesome. So you said,
thank you.
For sure, for sure. You said you chose not to go back to school because you didn't want to follow the rules. Is that right?
I feel safe at home, but like the rules that we have to do there, it was like I might as well just stay at my house instead of going back to school and staying there.
Definitely makes sense. Been a lot of older folks who have opted to stay at home as well, because it's been a lot of confusing rules, and sometimes people don't want to follow the rules at school or at work. So I can definitely understand taking that option. I guess you, and what's been, I guess, challenging about the last year being away from your friends?
It was challenging because I really wanted to hang out with them, but since I couldn't, I dealt with it, but I was able to just realize, and I got to see them on class, so then I was fine after that.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Now, even that right there within Illinois, even though we got a one-year age difference, just where we had one student who said, yes, let's go back to school. It's been difficult to, you know, manage academically. And then another student said, nah, I'd rather stay at home. Like, the rules look, might be a little challenging. Want to stay safe? I'll opt to stay at home. Like, it's been a lot. This is definitely one. I do not have children. Wow. Trying to navigate and make a decision about all of this. You all have my highest commendations. Wow. Let's see. Josephine, she is 13 in Queens. We'll get the same questions. So just kind of in general, what's your last year been like? And then what's been most enjoyable? What's been most challenging?
Okay. I really think for the most challenging, I think it was more in the beginning of COVID. Because I went to Florida for my safety, mostly because I have asthma and it's really bad with COVID. And because in the beginning it was like really safe in Florida, there wasn't a lot of cases, so it really sucked because I graduated in Florida from elementary to middle school, and it really sucked. It was pretty sad too, but I feel like the best part of, like, now I'm back in New York, but I feel like the best part is that I think I have more time to do stuff, like in between breaks of classes and stuff. Like, I get to draw a lot and stuff. Another sad part is just, I lost most of my friends, all of my friends. I barely stay in contact with them, and because it's been pretty hard with school too and stuff. And there's also technical problems with school for me because I have a really old computer that's literally as old as me. And it, I guess that's pretty much it.
Wow, that, whew. Joseph, so let me see, you had to graduate in Florida. Which grade did you graduate to in Florida from New York?
My old school, it went to like sixth grade. So I graduated from sixth grade to seventh grade, and I just completely changed schools too.
I will echo, say it twice, that sucks and is sad. Like, to miss out, that's said, like, those are supposed to be like major milestones. Like, you, these are people that you've been friends with for years sometimes. Like, you've been friends for all these years. We're supposed to celebrate together, and I'm not around the block. I'm in Florida. Like, what in the world? Like, woo, man. Wow, that is a rough one, Josephine. That's why I said, like, that's, I couldn't even imagine. The anguish. I would have been so upset. I'd have been mad at somebody, like, lots of somebodies. I'd have been mad at my parents, my grandparents, like, woo, Florida. How did I end up in Florida? But I'm so glad you're back now with your family and can be around your little sister and all the rest. Like, wow. Were you able to make the best out of your experience in Florida? How many months did you have to be in Florida?
Like 3 months.
3 months.
With my grandparents.
Okay. I guess that's not exactly prison, but whew, man.
It kind of is, because, when the house that I was in is in the gated community, so I can't actually get out of the house unless it's the backyard.
Wow, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. It is like prison, my bad. Those gated communities in Florida. Josephine, do you know the name Trayvon Martin? Is that familiar? Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Those gated communities in Florida, for sure, can be like prison. Armed guards and everything. But wow, and we got the tech difficulties. Now, certainly going to Florida at that age is, you know, wow, it sucks. But the computers that they've talked about that so relentlessly and saying that for lots of students, and particularly black students, non-white students, the tech issues, whether it's Wi-Fi or do you have a device and all the rest of it to be able to maintain classwork, not just communication, but getting work done, getting assignments turned in and all the rest of, I mean, oof. It has not been pleasant for lots of folks over the past year. Man, I'm so glad you are back in New York. Hopefully, computer upgrade. And yeah, but at least you're back in New York. And yeah, that is crazy to think at one point Florida was the safe place to be with regards to COVID-19. Alrighty.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes, ma'am.
My computer just also lost a key, so we're planning on getting a new one, too.
Tell me about it. Jeez, I know all about the computer issues. Whew, went through that during the Rona situation. Man, cheers to new computers. Let's see. Making sure we missed one person. We got Josephine in Queens. We got Khalif in Illinois. We got Marquise in, oh, it's Z. How could I forget? Z in California. What has been just kind of your experience over the last 12 months? And then what has been the best thing? What has been the most difficult over the past year?
Well, the thing that I didn't like is that I don't have any siblings, so I'm just around adults all the time and don't really have a lot to do. And is that I don't like how my school set up my learning program and stuff, and they, like, don't really teach me well and don't give me the right information. Just like, they give me information through, like, YouTube and videos and not, like, through, like, just, like, telling me and through people. And it's really hard because it's, like my teacher just really has a really bad speaker. So I just hear, like static and stuff. So it's really bad all the time, and it never stops. And I feel like it's, like, brainwashing my brain. And I even told the principal, but they didn't do anything about it. And it's just a lot. Oh, and a good thing is that at least I get to be with my family. I can learn about racism and white supremacy. So that's the only good thing.
Wow. I'm not even sure what to say. That is one reason out of many, many. But that is one reason that I'm so glad we had this program, because I just said there have been many reports all the way, like, dating back a year about, man, you know, technical problems, and got so many non-white students. They don't have computers, or they don't have Wi-Fi, you know, they don't have. I don't think I've heard one report saying the instructors don't have sufficient equipment, quality microphone or headset or whatever it is, to give adequate instruction. I don't think I've heard one report. I mean, that's embarrassing. Like, in California, with all of the Silicon Valley, like, that's embarrassing. Like, they should have the best setups, headsets, all of that. And then she said, I did the responsible thing. I'm serious about my learning. Contact the principal. They still can't get him a better mic. She said she feels like it's brainwashing her. A disgrace again in California, an absolute disgrace. We can't even get quality microphones for folks. And then saying that, you know, just getting instructions from videos and what have you, where it's not even directly addressing concerns, questions that she has to improve her learning. Wow. I will certainly, being at home, that's awesome. I guess she did give one plus. Being at home, being safe with their family, that is awesome. Being able to learn about white supremacy, I certainly heard that. Awesome. Take advantage. But man, that is I think a lot of folks have shared about that, like, just totally inadequate in terms of compensating. Like, if we got to be at home, safety measures and all the rest of it, like, let's at least make sure everybody has a working tablet, a working headset, so we don't have static going out to our students. I mean, man, I'll give out the number again in case we missed any scholars who would like to participate. The number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Definitely, if we have any younger folks, feel free. We will get you on the line to share. Let's see. Oh, saw a hand. Let's see. Just saw a new hand, a new caller. Do we have any other young folks that we've missed? Oh, they might. They need a moment to get acclimated. We'll check in a second. Go around and get other folks. Maybe while some of our folks that are just joining us, maybe while they take a moment to get acclimated, for the folks that we have heard from thus far, brilliant, courageous young scholars, a question I'll ask everybody. What, now that it's been a year, you all are veterans of being students in the midst of a global health pandemic. What is one thing that would have made the last year better for you? Like, if you had known from the beginning, like, hey, a year from now, all this is still going to be going on. No end in sight. This is one thing they say we could do this for you, Z, and things would be way better. Like, it's still going to be bad, but this would have made it a little bit better over the last year. Just one thing. We'll go through and ask all of our young scholars this question. Folks can kind of be thinking of their answer. In fact, I'll give out the number again so folks can think a little bit more. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. So the question again, we'll go through, ask everybody. One thing. I think for some folks it might be a shiny new iPad. That might have made the difference in making this past year a little bit better. But one thing that would have made things a little bit easier, you would have had a little bit more of a smile, would have been a little bit easier to get through the last year. Let's see what folks have to, maybe even a new headset for my teacher. Maybe it's not even me directly that I needed anything, just if my teacher had had a sparkly new microphone so we could hear him clearly. That would have made my year better. Let's see. We will start. Let's see. Josephine in Queens. Again, she's 13. Happy to be. Maybe not going to Florida. Let's see. What's one thing that would have made your past year better?
I have a question. So is it something that I can change, or is it something that, like, is it, if it just didn't happen?
You can do one of each.
Okay. If it's something I can change, I wish I had a new computer, and it's something that I wish didn't happen. I wish I never lost my friends, or I wish I somewhat kept in contact with them. Really.
Oh, Josephine, you still with us?
Yes.
Oh, okay, we got you. You said with your friends, you said you wish you had not lost your friends. Did you have, because we kind of missed you after that.
Oh, that's one. And the other was to get a new computer that works.
Got it, got it. Tech issues are a huge bummer. New computer and then staying in touch with friends. That is a test, especially when you have to go to Florida. I guess for folks, even if they didn't have to move, that would have been a problem. But certainly when you have that sort of big move, that makes it tough. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of folks over the past year, younger folks and even some older folks, have been saying the same thing. It has been tough just to stay in touch, and that communication is so important when you're at that age, and the social development, the peer dynamics, like, that's really, really important. Let's see. Much thank you so much for sharing. Josephine in Queens, New York. Let's see. Khalif, he is in Illinois, 11. One thing that would have made things better for you over the past year.
One thing that would have made things better over the past year would be more support from the teachers, because after getting put on our iPads, after being in school for I don't know how many years, it's like a huge change, like a fast one. So it would be a bit more help if they would have helped us get more ready. And I just got in band. I play the clarinet. And I'm, like, learning the clarinet, and it's harder for me since we're online, so I'm learning the clarinet from online, which is weird. So, yeah, that could have made the year better.
Wow. I was in band as well. That is one that is, that's like a group activity. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can do for practice, but I mean, to have that be every day. In fact, we have several Calves listeners who are young musicians who play different instruments, and they have talked about how this has dramatically impacted their ability to play their instruments, to meet with their professors, to get instruction. Everything has been virtual, and it's really compromised their ability to play their music, to develop with their instruments. It's just been another challenge, something else we probably wouldn't even think about. But yeah, I cannot imagine, like, that was the most fun. You get to go and be around everybody and play some songs together. Like, in addition to, didn't want to downplay not getting the best support from your instructors, which, long list of folks complaining about getting a lack of support during all this. But yeah, I can only imagine that would have drastically improved things to have better support, especially for black children. Let's see. Much obliged. That's Khalif 11. In Illinois. Let's see. Young musician in training. I didn't even know. Let's see. Marquise will stay in Illinois. Marquise, also with us. What's one thing that would have made the last year better for you?
Something that would have made the last year better for me would be having my teacher help me more, and so I can understand what we're doing. And also, I wish I had kept my contacts in, so when I'm in it, I still have my friends' numbers.
Oh, so that's two people. So it's been difficult for you to stay in touch with your friends over the last 12 months?
Yes.
I know the feeling. That's two folks. Know the feeling. 1,000% those peer dynamics, that's so critically important, being able to hang out, especially in person. I mean, I guess you compensate as best you can. I talked on the phone a lot at that age too, but I mean, it's nothing like being in person and sports and playing instruments together and all the rest of it. Like, that is super important at that age. Context is important too, but contact, healthy, constructive contact for young people, super important. Let's see, our last, or I guess say last, because I think we do have some other folks, but at least last out of the people that we've heard thus far, Z, 10 years old, what is one thing that would have made things better for you over the last year?
My teacher had a better computer, and for him to like really know like the math we're doing, and not just looking online. So.
Better computer for teacher. Better support, such they can kind of let her know what math they're doing, so she can get a better understanding of what work they're supposed to be getting done. She's in California. We just heard that twice from our young scholars in Illinois. Not getting adequate support. Seems like it's not being communicated what we're supposed to do, or not getting direct assistance in the areas where I have direct questions or direct problems, and I'm not getting direct assistance for that. Seems like we at least are hearing a few, you know, trends, patterns, even though we have folks who are kind of spread out all across. We got a nice little cross section, West Coast, East Coast, and then Midwest, I guess they call it, for Illinois, Central. Let's see that. So we got all four. Let me see other folks who are with us. If you have a hand up, did we miss any scholars, students who we have not heard from, have a hand up? I'll check again in case we miss them. Star 6-1, if you're listening in, if you have a hand up, thoughts to share. Let's see, do any of the young people that are with us, the folks that we've heard from thus far, Josephine, Khalif, Marquise, and Z, any of the folks that are with us, have any of your friends or relatives or anyone, have they had any problems with COVID-19 that you know, or has everyone been safe, healthy that you know of? Let's see. I'll just, Josephine, anyone had any problems with this, or has everyone been safe, healthy to your knowledge?
A cousin had COVID-19. Like, she had symptoms.
Okay.
Oh, but she had no symptoms.
No symptoms. No symptoms. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a year older than me.
Hmm. Okay. Josephine's 13, so okay. So that's one person. Josephine said she had a cousin who, but no symptoms for her cousin who might have had this. Let's see. Marquise, did anyone you know has reported having any problems with COVID-19, or has all your friends and family been safe so far?
Everyone really, but my aunt, my grandfather, and my godmother all passed away in COVID-19.
Not from COVID.
Not from COVID. But it was hard for my family because we weren't able to all be there for each other when it happened.
Wow. My condolences to the family. I said not from COVID-19. Make sure that that's clear. Not from COVID-19. But with all the precautions, you know, where you can't get together, I think that's been pretty widespread. Marquise is in Illinois, but I think that's throughout North America that you can't get together for funerals and that type of thing. So that lots of folks have talked about that has just added to the whole trauma, because that's another one where you could at least get some support and be together, and to have that totally removed. And I think even it's been a slow process to even get through the whole burial and everything. So, wow, my condolences to you and your family, and just hope everyone can stay safe and draw support from each other. It's definitely been a challenging year for a lot of folks for many, many reasons. Let's see. We'll stay in Illinois. Khalif, did you, has everyone been safe, or had anyone that you know, have they had any problems with COVID-19?
Everybody in my family is safe. We exercise and we take vitamins and eat healthy. So that should overall just keep us healthy. And yeah.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. Keep eating well. Exercising. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hope everyone continues to stay safe. Let's see. Z, our last person out of the folks that we have here, has everyone, your friends and family, have they been able to stay safe and healthy, or has anyone had any problems that you know of with COVID-19?
My dad's side of the family, my victim, no, my dad's side of the family, they all got COVID, but they're good now. They don't have any symptoms. But yeah.
Wow, that's scary. She said her dad's side of the family, but she did say they have recuperated. They're good now, which is spectacular. That is one of the best things that I've heard on the broadcast, that they're safe now. I guess if anything, take it seriously. Folks that are out there listening in, that's the same thing I've said for a long time. Take it seriously. Wow. Okay. And they're in California, I guess, where it's been a big problem. Gavin Newsom, they had major shutdowns and everything, and have just started to slowly open things back up and kind of see how things are going. So hopefully folks taking it serious. Let me double check. Any of the folks that dialed in with a hand up, are there any young folks that we missed? Just making sure we're not missing any young scholars. Great, great. Okay. If you all are out there, make sure you don't, we don't miss you. Let's see. I'll get in one more. Gotta get in. I'll get in one more question, and then we'll see if any of the parents that are listening in, if they have any thoughts that they would like to share. Again, Gusty, I am not a parent, so I certainly don't want to ever, you know, give the impression like I'm, you know, giving advice out or whatever. I know what I'm talking about with child rearing because I have done none of that. I have the highest regard for attempted fathers, attempted mothers. I feel like that is such a difficult, challenging job in the system of white supremacy. And then this past year just took it like to the nth degree in terms of challenge. So whew, it sounds like you all are all, everybody, doing just remarkable work. Kudos to all of you. You have my highest commendation. I'll check in to see if y'all have any thoughts you would like to share on the program, but I'll make sure I get in one more program, one more question with the folks that we have with us, our young scholars. Let's see. One of our favorite guests, she used to say regularly, reading is more important than watching television. We have a book club here at the Cows. We'll be reading tomorrow. Can't wait, OJ Simpson. What has been the best book you've read since the pandemic? Don't know if they've had any book reports, if that's been a part of the curriculum while they've had all of us trapped inside, to see if they're getting these young folks to do some reading, but thought that would be interesting. Maybe The Hate U Give is on the curriculum for some of our young scholars. So we'll check in and see what their reading habits have been. Your favorite book from the past year. Let's see. We'll go down the line. Let's see. Z in California. Did you want to share? What's your favorite book that you've read over the past 12 months? Yes, ma'am. Oh, I did hear you. Now I don't. I heard you when you asked the question, but now I do not. Are you still with us, Z?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Well, there's a book from Carter G. Woodson called African Myths and Folktales, and that's my favorite book.
Wow. Carter G. Woodson. I've read a few of his books. African Myths and Folk Tales. I've not read that one, though. Wow, bravo. Okay. We were just talking about Carter G. Woodson a few weeks ago, back with the program on mob violence. Let's see. Let's get Marquise. What's the best book you've read over the last year?
The best book I've read over the year has to be Dogman.
Dogman. Is it Dogman? Dogman? Dogman?
Huh?
You said it's called Dogman? Dogman? Is that the title?
It's a fictional book.
Oh, I just, can you repeat the title for us again one more time? I'm sorry, Marquise, just to make sure I hear correctly.
It's called Dogman.
Dogman. Am I saying it right? I heard it. Dogman, like four legs, Dogman?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us what's Dogman about?
It's about this guy, and he was an officer with his dog, but then they were blown up, but they were still alive. So they had to stitch the dog's head onto the man's body, so you get Dog Man. So that, I guess. And it's just a fun book to read.
Science fiction. I love science fiction. Okay. Dog Man. We just read White Dog. We just read about that dog. Dog Man. Okay. I'll have to check that one out. Let's see. Khalif will stay in Illinois. Khalif, what is the best book you've read over the past year?
Best book I read was, it's a book called What is a Monarchy?
What is a monarchy? All right. What's that one about? What is a monarchy?
The book's about is like kings and queens and how kings and queens rule.
Wow. Wow, that's so impressive. Interesting. Kings and queens rule. What is a Did it make you want to be a king? Like after you read that book, like, wow, a king, that's the person to be.
Yeah.
You gotta have a king. It's good to be. Of course, of course. What is a monarchy? Okay. So we got What is a Monarchy? Got a little Carter G. Woodson as well. And then we got Dog Man. Let's see. Let's round out our book list. Josephine, 13, Queens, New York. What's the best book you've read over the last year?
I would have to say that I haven't been reading a lot of books, but I have been reading something called fan fiction, where it's like where fans make like these like writings of like based off a show or something. I've been reading a lot of those, and I feel like if it had to be a book, it would have to be Harry Potter, because that's really the only book I'm reading so far, like constantly. That's
Harry Potter. Oh, I've read Harry Potter. I bet a whole lot of folks have read Harry Potter. Fan fiction. I'm ignorant about that. Fan fiction. So tell me some information about this fan fiction, please, if you don't mind.
So, like, for example, like, if you were, like, watching a movie and you really liked that movie, and let's say that movie, you didn't like the ending of the movie, so you would look up that movie's name, fan fiction. And there would be an array of fan fiction where you can read, like, a new take on the movie. Or you can read, like, that movie in different perspectives. Or a movie where that ending you didn't like is changed, for example.
Oh, okay. Do you write anything for the fan fiction, or you just read what other people write?
I do write some fan fiction. I've mostly abandoned it, though, because I haven't really found anything I really want to write about. But I do read a lot of fan fiction. I've read over, like, 300 during COVID.
That's like one a day. Okay. Okay. What's the last fan fiction that you read?
Deku, I think he's some kind of pro.
Okay. Do you remember
what's the fan fiction name?
Okay. What movie was he writing about?
It's not a movie, it's a show. It's My Hero Academia.
Okay. They do TV shows too. Okay, I'm learning more. Okay. I'll have to check that out.
Mostly something like mostly anime and like animations, mostly.
Fascinating. Justice, our former co-host, big anime fan. Whew, man, oh man. Let me see. I feel like we might have missed. There might be some other young people who are with us also, so I want to check in to make sure. We didn't miss them also. Star 6-1, if we have other young people who are here, Star 6-1, make sure I don't miss any of our young scholars. So other people who dialed in with a hand up, if we have any young people, any young scholars, feel free to speak up. maybe not, maybe not. Maybe I did say I was going to see if the parents had any contributions that they wanted to add in. So maybe their parents or attempted parents and they want to share. Let's see. Should I miss? Guess I have one more question. I'll pause. Wowee. These have been some extraordinarily impressive young people. Like, if you had asked me, like, our age range here is kind of like 10 to 13 so far. I think if you had asked me in that range, I would have had to hope that we read a book for school. Like, I don't know if I was doing too much, like, for fun reading. It would have had to been, like, whatever we read for school. Like, that's the best book that I've read, and I don't remember liking too many of those, much less, like, eating well. Like, I would have probably had to share McDonald's or something fast food, hot dogs, potato chips. We didn't hear any potato chips. Like, to have all of these young people, nobody listed Cheetos and potato chips and nonsense like vegetables and vegan brownies and smoothies and cabbage soup and black rice. Like, oh my God. Way ahead. And reading Carter G. Woodson at 10 years of, my goodness, like, come on. Spectacular young scholars. A pluses for all of our attempted parents as well. Like, outstanding effort in getting these young folks to eat correctly and be doing some reading and using some logic. Like, wow, I'm super, and under extraordinarily difficult circumstances. Like, wow. A pluses to all of the attempted parents, and huge thank you for sharing and letting your offspring, or letting some of these young folks come and speak with us for a second. I guess I did have another question for them. If they, you know, don't want to hang out for their whole evening, I totally understand. It's a long time to have to sit on the phone. For any of the attempted parents of these young folks, if you have any thoughts that you would like to share just on what has been challenging about this last year. I know we heard from a lot of folks from across the country and saying, man, these teachers have not been helpful, and how you have tried to intervene to, you know, see if you could get this problem solved, and, you know, why they've not been. I mean, it seems like a microphone, that's an easy one, right? Like, I mean, I know they've said they got PP protective equipment shortages, right? They've said that the whole time. I don't know. Do they have microphone shortages, too, where if a instructor, it seems that their computer or microphone is defective, that's, we got to put that on the wait list. We got to, you know, maybe by June we'll be able to get new microphones. Like, really? But if any of the parents have any thoughts on what it's been like trying to help these young people navigate the past 12 months, feel free to step in and share a thought or two. I'm sure folks would appreciate hearing how parents have tried to navigate all of this.
I'm Khalif's mother. I'm in Illinois. How are you?
Right, poorly, but thank you so much for sharing. A plus, ma'am. Phenomenal work.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I appreciate you having this platform and opening up your platform to the children, because I don't think that they're given enough credit for such an abrupt change in their life. Khalif has, the hardest thing it has been for me on our end here is watching his grades slip. And Khalif has never struggled in academically as he did this year. And it was really hard to watch. It was hard to watch, and I didn't feel like I was providing him the support that he needed in certain areas, because there were things that he was learning that I've been out of school. And it was hard. It was connecting with him in that way. But we found the support that we needed in certain areas. But when school opened back up, I was hesitant at first, but I knew Khalif was ready to go. And watching him make that decision was hard for me, because you want to support him
but at the same time, you want him to be safe. And I knew he needed to get back in school. So in making that decision as a parent was tough for me because on one end, I want him to be safe, and on the other, my child is telling me that he needs more help. So he's been back in school now. I can definitely see a change in his attitude. I see him being more responsible for himself. Getting up in the morning isn't a problem as it was before when he was on his iPad. He shoots right up now because he's excited to get back in class. So that's been a major thumbs up for me because at least he's attempting to do something about it, and not giving up was something that I really applauded him about.
A plus. You said, we heard directly from Khalif. He said he was so excited and he wanted to go back to school to see his friends and he could get more help in the classroom. So he wanted to go back to school. He said he was more excited than being afraid. Were you fearful in any way about the virus, or, you know, is the safety protocols, are they going to be following them, or are they going to be lax about all this? Like, how did you try to weigh him wanting to go back and saying that, hey, his girl, he's not enthusiastic about just having to get up and be on an iPad all day long? How did you try to weigh the metrics?
When the school first started making the decision and allowing the children to come back to school, they kind of was sending emails out how they were going to go about it, as far as how they were going to social distance on the bus, transporting them to school, how they were going to social distance outside, getting into the school, just breaking down their day-by-day activities and what they were going to be doing to make sure that the children were staying safe. It gave me a little bit more confidence in that regard, because I knew that their concern for my children's safety was the same as mine. And I just let Khalif know as well, these are the guidelines. This is what's going to happen. Follow these guidelines and you can go back to school, you know. So I wasn't fearful, but having those emails sent out and them preparing us definitely helped.
Spectacular. A plus, for what I imagine has got to be, you know, really difficult just trying to manage and figure out and make the best decision you can for your child in the midst of all this. Hopefully things will transition and things will be safe and we can, I don't know if getting back to normal, I don't know if that cliche applies, but at least getting to a point where things are safe and we can get back to being in person with school and all that some point soon. Let's see, some of the other attempted parents, if you have thoughts on what it's been like trying to guide these young folks through the last 12 months.
Hi, my name is... Oh, go ahead. Hi, guys. My name is Rachel. I'm Josephine's mom. So some of the challenges that we had during the past year was the fact that I was working remotely. So it was really hard for me to kind of juggle working with Josephine at school and working from home. And then I also have a one-year-old, and I was pregnant at the same time. So it was a lot of those challenges. And plus, there was 3 months out of the pandemic that Josephine was in Florida. So it was really hard to work with her when she was going to school remotely then. Some of the things that really worked for Josephine was for me to like be more in contact with her, because sometimes she would shut herself off. Like she would go into her room and wouldn't come out for most of the day. So I had to constantly check in on her to make sure that she was okay, like mentally. And then whatever she needed was, you know, if she needed any support around anything else. I think those are some of the things that, or the issues that we had.
Wow. That is, wow. Being pregnant in the midst, like, whoa. I know some other black mothers who were pregnant in the midst of all of this, and wow, I cannot even imagine. Like, and then she goes to Florida. Like, what was that like? Like, preparing to have to tell Josephine. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, having to tell a teen. Like, okay, you're gonna have to finish your school year in Florida. Like, what? Like, what was the preparation for that conversation?
So the problem was, in New York at the time, we had like the highest cases. So what I was most afraid of is that I would contract COVID, because I'm a healthcare worker as well. So I didn't want her to be around me during that time. So I just talked to her about the fact that, you know, that she would be at high risk, especially that she has asthma. And that's the number one reason why I didn't send her to school.
I think that is listed on the comorbidities list, asthma. So I can definitely see the logic, but wow. I think she said it twice. It sucked. And it was like prison being in Florida. Like, wow. Oh, my goodness. Like, woof. I'm glad she's back. I'm glad everybody is safe. Like, A plus. I can't even imagine, like, being pregnant and having a young child and like eating healthy food all the while, like the Beyond Burgers. And man, A pluses. We had another attempted mom who spoke up simultaneously.
Yes, this is Paulette. My name is Paulette. I'm the mother of Marquise Barnes. So I have a different perspective because I'm an educator myself. I'm a dean at a high school. So for me, it's a little bit different because, I'm working from home. So I'm dealing with making sure students are attending school, calling for them like, hey, why aren't you there? Trying to get other kids in school. And at the same time, my son might say, hey, mom, I need help. So like the other moms stated, it's hard to do our own job when we're also having to assist our own students. Because it is hard to maneuver the computer. And a lot of times, you know, the instruction of the computer is not what it needs to be. So that was hard. And as an educator, it's a different perspective because I come from the largest school district in the Lake County area of Illinois. We have 17,500 students. So the thought of us going back into the school is scary for a lot of the staff, because there's no possible way to social distance when you have that many students in a school, right? So in one of our high schools alone, we might have 5,000 students. There's no way to social distance. And, you know, they have the idea that they show us the pictures of the desks are moved apart. They have the plexiglass on the desk. But in reality, how much of social distancing are you really doing with that many people in one area? Our classes are already overcrowded. So for me to say that as a educator that I would want to go back into the classroom right now is unrealistic, because I wouldn't want to. I don't feel it would be safe for myself or for my family when I have to go back home to them. I'll also add, you know, I have other students who have struggled, my own kids, I'm sorry, my dog, who are struggling, you know, my high school students who are struggling. And I think it's harder for the high school students to have to just sit in a computer all day and work. You know, sometimes I have to be harder on my high school students than I do my elementary, because it's like, okay, did you guys do your work today? Are you on task? Do you have any missing work? And you can only go off what they're telling you. You know, you can't really manage their stuff the way you can the elementary kids. And that's hard as a parent. So one thing I have done through the pandemic is I put all of my students in therapy. So there might be things that they're going through with being in the pandemic that I don't understand and they can't really talk to me about. So I did give them that liberty to be able to have that space to talk with someone outside of me, because throughout this, we're all going through mental things and all kind of thoughts. You can't have the social aspect that you had before to release. They don't have recess and gym to release those, that anxiety they may have. So I just think one of the things I would encourage parents to think about, that, you know, it might just be an outlet for them to express themselves or things that they want to talk about that they can't with us. So something to think about for the parents.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Paulette. And I'm so glad we got someone from that different perspective, too, being an educator, because I said I think we have, you know, a sizable number of educators who listen to the cows, at least from time to time. And you said you are one of the folks who might be responsible for checking in on students. You know, are you checking in? Are you coming on the platform virtually and all the rest? You said that's a part of your duties. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Wow. And I guess if you could give us some of the detail, because I can imagine, like, oh, my goodness, like that has got to be a massive challenge, even just with some of what we heard in terms of the tech difficulties that people are having and all the rest, like trying to keep tabs on all these folks remotely.
So truancy is at an all time high right now, as you all can imagine. But one of the things that we're finding is a lot of it is tech issues. You know, either computer is broken, they've been trying to get through and they can't get through to anyone, or it's a process to get the computer fixed. So a lot of times we're trying to revert to, hey, let's just switch out a computer really quick so they don't miss as many days. It might be a Wi-Fi issue, so we try to get the kids hotspots to put in their homes because everyone can't afford, you know, the Wi-Fi, different things like that. And then some kids, especially at the high school level, throughout this process, they have just become so disengaged and so unmotivated that they just don't want to do the work anymore. You know, it's like, I'd rather just wait till school opens back up. And so that's what we're finding a lot. It's really hard to motivate these high school students to get back into the groove of doing their work. It's hard enough when you're in high school, you know. And I always used to tell my students when I was a middle school teacher, high school is different. It's based off credit. So if you don't do the work, you don't get the credit. And a lot of times they have a rude awakening when they get into high school and they see that we were telling the truth, that, hey, oh, such and such might not let me make it up like they did in middle school. And if I don't do the work, I don't get the credit. And then I might be a credit behind the next year. So a lot of kids, especially our freshmen, get to start realizing that it's, you know, you have to do the work or you don't receive the credit. And that's a rude awakening for them. So pushing those high school students is a lot harder.
Wow. I remember, I want to ask a follow-up about the mental health component, but I think this is so important. This was, I believe, like 2013, 2012. We did a number of programs, and we talked about, in Virginia, they closed school. When I say they, racist man, racist woman, they closed schools deliberately for 5 years because they didn't want black children to attend school with white children. They have a book, they closed their schools, a book written all about this. They have films, all the above. We've had programs about this, so we talked about all this in detail. But to be out of school for 5 years and the damage that does, like, to a child, to totally miss learning and developing your brain computer over that time, and what that does, it's just like any other muscle, what they call it, atrophy. The same thing happens to your brain computer. And now we've had a year of this, which you just heard about that motivation. But I remember when we were having some of those programs, we had some folks who took a strong position that because the school system is racist and they don't do right by black children, those children would be better off if they just dropped out of school totally. No compensation, not they dropped out and did homeschooling or some sort of alternative program. Like, it would be better for them to not be in school at all and miss out on all of the racism and Christopher Columbus and blah, 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 blah. It would be better to miss out on all of that and have nothing, just whatever they do, you know, PlayStation 5, watching TV, Netflix, whatever. Oh, that would be better than being in school. Now, I thought that was absurd at the time. I said so, but there were folks who said, oh, it would be better. And I said, I think you already have a lot of evidence. There are a lot of black people who dropped out of school. You can look and see, do they become Rhodes Scholars? Do they become, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies? Does that happen? I think you can find a lot of black people who dropped out of school. Certainly, this would be a tragic time to take a look and evaluate if you think that would be better. You're an educator. Have you seen any evidence that black students would maybe somehow benefit from not being in school at all?
I don't think they would benefit from not being in school because, of course, they need an education. And of course, what do we know back in the day? They said, if you want to hide anything from a black person, put it in the book, right? They didn't want us to read for a reason. I will say, talking about racism in school, unfortunately, and it was on the news yesterday, our school district actually made the news because racism is still in the school district. It's still across the country. A teacher thought it was a great idea in an elementary school in our school district to make an assignment that said, "My dream for colored people in America is." And you guys might think that I'm joking, but this really was an assignment that was sent out to African-American and brown children in our school district as an assignment 2 days ago. So our school district is under fire now for racism. Believe it or not.
Oh, we believe it. We believe it, Paul. No doubt at all. Before I move to some of our other parents, just the mental health component, the grandsister who has connections to Chicago right there, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, talked about the importance of black mental health, frequently the lack thereof. But just, I think a lot of folks, we might not even be thinking, like, a 10-year-old, really? Therapy? Just for, yes. For what we've endured for the last 12 months, yes, therapy might be good. Just, can you give another endorsement for that, please, ma'am?
Yes. So, again, I encourage you all to listen to your children. They may not necessarily, they might say everything is okay. But if you can, if you have the resources, put them in therapy. Give them an outlet to let out whatever it is that's on their mind that they can't let out, and they may not necessarily be able to let out to you. It's someone who is non-biased. It's someone who's not going to judge them. It's someone who's going to let them talk and talk them through the rationale of what they're going through and whatever mind issues they may have or thoughts they may be having or different things like that. You know, I would say it's a resource. And especially in our black community, it's always been looked at as taboo, and it shouldn't be. It's okay. We all have those times when we may have thoughts or be depressed and just need someone to talk to. And it's okay. We have to stop thinking it's taboo, and we have to start helping ourselves. Post-traumatic stress disorder is real.
Much obliged, Paulette. A-plus is all the way around, in particular for that. Recommendation. I'm so glad we got educator in Chris, like double, constructive double whammy. We got constructive attempted black mother and then got black educator to boot. Like, that is spectacular. Let's see. We have other attempted parents who wanted to share how they've kind of helped kind of get through this last year or what's been tough about getting through this last year.
Can I be heard?
Yeah. Yes, was that one of our young folks? Let me make sure I heard both of you.
Oh, this is a Z's
I'm
mom.
Oh, we got it. Oh, we got Z's mom. Let's get Z's mom, and then we'll get our other caller.
Hi. Yeah. So, I wanted to first say thank you. Reiterate what the other parents said. I think this is a really good opportunity for the kids to kind of just parse out their feelings on COVID. For Z and I, it's been pretty hard, especially because she's an only child. So it's been hard to kind of have that child contact. Sometimes she does like Zoom videos with her friends, but it's not the same. And a lot of the friends that she once had have become very unconstructive in terms of just engaging in behavior that is not good for her.
And then there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood, and you see them running around and playing. And I'm always telling her, you know, you can't play with those kids because you don't know who in their family may have COVID or anything like that. So it's been hard for her, but I think it's been good for us because we've been able to spend a lot more time together. Because before COVID, I was working maybe 10 to 11 hours a day, so I rarely saw her. But with the schooling, it's like she doesn't get, you know, it's mandatory for her to be in front of, in the classes, but she's not learning anything. So then we have to spend hours after she's doing schooling to supplement that, whether it be with like workbooks and things like that. And then so I'm working from home, but trying to make sure that, you know, she's doing her mandatory schooling plus extra schooling. And that's been hard. And her not having a lot of physical activity because she used to be in Taekwondo and that ended. And so we've just been doing a thing where we just go for runs. Like every other day, we've been trying to do that. And it's been good for her because she's at least been able to get involved in other hobbies, like she's playing the ukulele. So that's been nice. But I think not having that child contact is pretty detrimental, and it's something that I'm always just like worried about how it affects her developmentally. I actually wanted to, if it's possible, I wanted to pose a question to the other attemptive parent who's an educator. I wanted to see how like how you would go about, because Z school does have therapy and the therapist is actually non-white, and she seems like pretty adequate at her job, but Z always kind of tells me she doesn't need it. How do you kind of get a child to see the importance of it, even if they don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with them?
I had this issue as well. And what I just told my kids was, it's not that anything is wrong with you. It's just an outlet because you don't necessarily have your friends to talk to right now. You don't have resources to go out and be with other people. So it's just a way that you can go and talk to someone, have someone that you can have a relationship with, and feel that anything that you tell them is between you and that person. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. It just means, hey, it's someone that you can talk to each week. I would say if they have a therapist in the school, maybe there's a reason why Z doesn't want to particularly talk to that person if they've already come in contact with them. With my kid's therapist, everything is teletherapy right now. So you don't actually have to push a child out and to go talk to someone. They're in the comfort of their own room, in their own privacy. And it's someone that they don't see outside on a normal basis. Sometimes when the kids talk to the therapist in the school, it's someone that they're familiar with and someone that they see all the time. So they may feel that there's some kind of bias there. You see what I'm saying? And that might be a reason why she's saying, well, no, I don't need to talk to that person. No, I don't want to talk to that person. Excuse me. So if you give them someone that they haven't come in contact with and that's new and fresh, it might be better for her.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And definitely will look into that because I do think that that therapist and Z have had some sort of contact. So, thank you.
No problem. And I'm not sure if you have insurance, but most insurances have something called an EAP. And what it is, they'll set you up with the first three sessions for free. And if you don't like that therapist, you can go back and start with the new one until you find the right one.
And you said it was an EAP?
Yes.
Okay, I'll look that up. Thank you.
No problem.
Spectacular. And just for Z's experience, like the people being dedicated to self-care, whether it's therapy, Taekwondo, eating healthy, like self-care is so critically important. I cannot emphasize that enough. Like if you're eating like chemicals, poisons, really awful food that is not nourishing your body, that makes these type of traumatic events way worse, because it just pollutes your body. It pollutes your thinking. Sometimes it even makes it to where I don't even want to get up and go, like Taekwondo, run. I don't want to, I'm just going to sit here on the couch. Like, really being, making that a lifelong priority, eating well, self-care, exercise, like really being about quality care of self, quality care for self. Spectacular. But I mean, wow, like that is exhausting. Like, you have to work and then she, only children, like, oh, they need even more attention. And then the school is not doing an adequate job, so you have to compensate and give extra. I mean, just wow, like that is a lot to have to manage in the midst of all of this. And then they can't even get a working microphone for the school. Like, man. Let's see. We had another parent. Thank you for yielding for Z's mother to share. Our other parent.
No worries. Thank you. My name is Kemp Woodford, and I'm actually the great aunt of Marquise and the niece of Marquise's mom that you just spoke with. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful platform. This forum is wonderful in terms of giving our young scholars safe space to speak and dialogue about what this pandemic, COVID pandemic, has done and affected them in these crucial years of learning for them, right? And so what I've learned through this year, actually, I'm very much an advocate for getting outdoors, getting in nature, for health and well-being, not just for the physical, but the mental. And I do a lot of community engagement work and getting adults and children, families outdoors into our, and I'm, by the way, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So we're really blessed to have a lot of green space, public green space. And unfortunately, but because of intentional separation or systemic racism, and trauma that's associated with it, blacks don't typically, or brown people, my Hispanic brothers and sisters aren't out there engaging in the same numbers as you see white folks engaging. So I'm very much a proponent of self-care, and part of that self-care involves getting out into nature, into some sort of green space. Because as the science says, when you're out in that space, the levels of stress, the cortisol, and other, anxiety and depression will dissipate. And the, as I call those, happy hormones will shoot up. And it may not happen that first time around because again, you know, it's, we've been separated from engaging into spaces that are, that have a tree canopy or just the insects, but taking, my goal is to help people, black and brown people, but more specifically my African American brothers and sisters, understand their disconnection. Why you don't even know why you're scared of being out in an area of trees or just green space, particularly if you see someone white coming that's in that space, occupying that space as well. So that, to me, knowing that history helps you to say, okay, then this space is for me. Yes, it's for you. Engage in it. Enjoy it. Let the joy happen that's there for you. And for children, here in Cleveland, we did a lot of community advocates and activists really, pushed forward and creating safe spaces, but learning spaces. For instance, utilizing community gardens and holding short classes out there that helped these young folks engage in that work in the space of social address the social emotional, simple social interactions, and address the areas of neurodiverse learning, because these children need, for the most part, need that social interaction as a critical piece of the you know, what we would perceive as proper development. So yeah, I just wanted to say that, and I engage again with young people outdoors with what my organization called Journey on Yonder, what I call it as Joy. This summer, I know I suffered from what I would say, a functioning level of depression, not with COVID and other personal losses that happened as a result of that. And then we had the other pandemic that was, the social reckoning, George Floyd, that sent many people, Black African Americans into another, that re-traumatization. So imagine these young kids who see this happening. They see their parents and other people that they love, the adults in their life, feeling traumatized with the language and what's being expressed in the household, and they not being able to express it themselves. And they're not, for the most part, having these dialogues in the classroom. And apparently they're not having it in Waukegan, based on what my niece just shared about this assignment. And I don't know if this is just a part of it. Is they're not equipped. I'm not sure. There's several reasons that I could speculate on. But moving back to my garden, this summer when I found myself traumatized, and I had to work remotely. But I have space in my yard, fortunately, where I have space for a vegetable garden. As you mentioned earlier, it was mentioned earlier on the phone, and I'm so happy to hear these young folks that are eating pretty darn healthy. I would have never, back in the day, Kool-Aid and all these sugary things were what we ate. But they're getting educated in this plant-based eating. Well, my thing with the gardening is that I was able to go back there and put my fingers into the dirt, rub them around, make that connection with the dirt. Because as far as I'm concerned, my African lineage, I'm connected to the earth. So I was able to do that, insert my plants from seed to the nurturing part and my therapy that I found out while out there, watering or weeding and just admiring that space. And also it was my time with the Lord during within that green space, and I could hear, many of the sounds of nature around me, the birds, the various birds. And then you'll see the different, insects or the pollinators that come through. And for a student, that's giving them STEM learning right there, but while also helping to stimulate their need for simple interactions and that social emotional learning. So I just wanted to share that, and I'm hoping that if you don't have much of a yard or backyard space or front yard space, there is a healing in nature, and maybe sharing that space with your young person, moving around, and it might mean moving out of your comfort zone as a parent. Getting educated, having that space to dialogue and to listen listen to what is out there and you know, take it in. That's self-care at the same time. And I believe I've shared, I think that's pretty much what I wanted to share with the group today. And thank you.
Marquise's aunt dialing in and sharing, echoing the importance of self-care, eating. I was impressed too. Like I said, the same thing. Like I had that was my first question that I wanted to ask, you know, what did they eat? Cause eating is so important. And we talk about that. We talked about that at all the yoga retreats. I was equally impressed. I said that, like, I was nowhere close. Like I was eating all kinds of, I would have easily, I think if I was them, oh man, I would have gained about 25 pounds over the last year. Like it would have been a full year of potato chips and cheeseburgers from McDonald's and ice cream and more potato chips. Like, oh yeah. Like I would not have read any books, but oh yeah, I would have gained at least 25 pounds for sure. Let's see. Do we have, a tip? Well, had nieces, uncles, attempted parents.
Hello, may I be heard?
Irie in Louisiana, yes, ma'am.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings, Beth. I was calling in support of my Illinois family. I told them about the program, and the kids were very, very excited about it. And I'm glad that it turned out so well. It's a good balance too. It's kind of cool. We got two young men and two females. So I first wanted to thank the parents for letting them participate, every single one. And you're doing a great job being, as Mr. Fuller would say, an attempted parent and, you know, attempting to just live life, in the 21st century in the midst of major confusion. And, you know, your work shows the children are doing really good despite having, you know, complications, but that's to be expected. Some of them unnecessary complications, but, you know, together we'll overcome. The other thing I want to say to the children, you know, you're doing phenomenally. Khalees he didn't say this, but he is an information technology whiz. Marquise let me know that he's pursuing the performing arts in the future, and he was very personable when I met him, and I just knew he'd be a shoo-in for the show. And Z, my hat off to you as far as the fan fiction. I think that was Z with the anime. You know, I never would have thought to, it's just great how you found a way to incorporate reading, you know, and not just being stuck with whatever an adult recommends to you. And I think it was Josephine with the asthma, right? You know, I do pray for your health and safety, and you're doing really good, and I think it's very constructive for your parents to have migrated to a better place for you, you know, and I hope that serves you well. And I'm going to make this fast. I've taught in Illinois because I lived up there after the hurricane, you know, for some time, and I'm not surprised to hear that report about Zion, tacky, trashy, terroristic. And I know for me personally, my son, he can't participate, and I express this. He's in the hospital right now, and I think part of it is because of his school experience and people not caring whatsoever in certain degrees. And so I want to express to everybody listening, what Paulette said is absolutely true. Therapy is probably essential at this point because it's massive mind games and confusion, and the kids, we can deal with it, you know, to a degree because we can kind of, you know, sort out, you know, facts and fiction or useful from unuseful, but the children, they can't do that so much. and the sooner the better. I would say to any parent, attempted parent listening, even if you don't think your child needs therapy, get it anyway. I was advised when my son was in eighth grade to seek therapy, and I was proud and thinking, oh, he's fine, you know, he doesn't need it. We're in a good, I moved to a good school district, and I'm, you know, we don't live in this place. No, not true, because, you know, kids keep certain things from us for a variety of reasons, and there's certain things we don't understand or we lose sight of as adults, because we're adults now, we're just not their age. So I really do want to encourage people to do what she said. And, you know, listen to your children, to ask questions. Stay in the question lane with your children, because sometimes they don't tell because we don't ask. And lastly, to the children, I just want to let you know that in life and in your school experiences, there will be difficult times, and there will be times where you get awards, you make the honor roll, or maybe you get that part you wanted in a play or whatever, and you're going to be really proud of yourself. And then there are going to be moments where you struggle, and there are going to be moments, you know, that you struggle because you need help. But then there are going to be moments that you struggle because, honestly, the system that's in place over the world is a system of injustice, where things are kind of planned out to not go like they're supposed to or correctly. And you may see that in the upcoming year and years in schools. And so with that said, I just want to say, if you are having trouble, please speak up. Don't bear that alone. And when you know that you've done your best and you still fall short, it's not your fault. And don't take it personal, because Khalif will probably speak to this from the book he read. In a society that's ruled or governed by people who are serious about something, they put all their effort and they put all their resources into making that happen. And the United States, the government, the people in power or rule, they're not serious about education, and they're not serious about safety right now. So there may be complications that happen that affect you, but it's not your fault. So, you know, keep striving, keep being well and successful. And we got you. We got you. And I'll mute my line. Thanks.
Much obliged, Irie. Thank you again for encouraging folks for self-care, seeking out a therapist, mental health professionals for our children. It has been a very challenging 12 months. So thank you for echoing our earlier sentiments about mental health and not being ashamed about that. Take it seriously and valuing mental health. And much obliged. I think it was Irie who helped get Paulette and some of our other folks to participate in Illinois and all the rest of it, but suggested that it might be constructive to have this sort of platform. I think several folks had been saying throughout the past year, like, man, children are having a tough time through all of this. Like, don't just get, you know, caught up in adults and thinking about all of the strife and chaos and, you know, brawling over masks and corn dogs and everything that's been going on. Like, children are also having a very tough time. Like, stop, check in, reflect on how they're feeling, how they're doing in the midst of all this. So absolutely, I'm overjoyed that we could make space to hear from folks. I'm trying to make sure that we didn't miss either young folks or other attempted parents who had thoughts or suggestions, just to make sure they get in. The number again is 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Do we have any other parents or young folks who had thoughts, if we missed you totally, or if you had an additional thought, suggestion that you wanted to share?
Can I make one suggestion, and I'm not going to say anything else? for the parents that were saying, you know, sometimes the kids, how to get their kids to do mental health, there are some mental health talks that are happening online that kind of give you insight into how to get your students or your child to do therapy, and just gives you, you know, a background or different activities you can do with your child as well to get them together. So there are resources out there like that that could help you.
Much obliged. Is this Paulette or?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Awesome. This is one of our educators. I wanted to ask as well. Thank you for sharing that also. But I wanted to ask as well, from your perspective, has the vaccine, how has that factored in the reopening plan? I know for some states they've said, you know, educators, we want them kind of moved to the front of the line as essential workers so they get the vaccine. I know some of the teachers have been kind of ambivalent about whether they want the vaccine or not. Like, how has that factored into the plans in your area?
So we get emails every single day. Our teachers and staff are being given the opportunity to sign up and get the vaccine at a very fast rate. There are a lot that are opting out. I have not signed up yet because I am not gung-ho on the vaccine yet. I know my parents want me to get it, but I'm still not sold on it. So I know that there's a lot more people that feel the same as I do, but there are a lot of teachers that are signing up. So that is an option that they are giving to teachers. The teachers are being pushed to the forefront to get the vaccine.
Okay. Dig it. What's your, at least at the moment, what information would you need for you to say, okay, I'm going to get the vaccine, or is there not really much data they could give you to change your mind?
I guess the date, I would just need data to say that it's going to work. There really isn't any indication that the vaccine works right now. And now that they're saying there's another strand that the vaccine won't even work for, it's like, okay, so I get the vaccine for this, and then what if I get the other strand? It's not going to protect me anyway. I guess my rationale is, you know, you have heard cases of people who actually have died right after taking the vaccine. So what is the ratio of, you know, like, how does it work? You know, is it certain people that have underlying issues when they take the vaccine that it's affecting them? You know, what has caused this thing to happen in certain people? Because what if I'm the one that goes and takes the vaccine and that happens to me? And I think that kind of scares me a little bit. But my drive, and really the only drive that I would have to take the vaccine, would be for the safety of my children, as well as the fact that I will be able to embrace my parents again. I haven't embraced my mother in over a year. So that's not normal for me, because I'm normally at my mom's house every day, and I haven't been able to do that. As Marquise stated, we have had 3 losses this year, and the fact that we couldn't embrace each other and hold her. For me, that was one of the hardest things that I endured. I lost my best friend of 34 years, and not being able to crawl in bed with my mom and just get that comfort from my mother, you know, that has hurt me tremendously. So that mental health piece, and that would probably be the motivation that would make me get the vaccine, is being able to embrace my mother.
That, much obliged for sharing, Paulette. I appreciate it. That social contact has come up so many times. We heard so many of our young scholars saying that, like, man, I missed my contacts and my phone, and I can't keep in touch with people, or I had to go to Florida and I couldn't keep in touch with people, and saying that that contact with other folks being disrupted has been enormous for the past year. I think that's why we had folks who were given that suggestion as well, like finding different ways of maintaining that contact. If it's getting outside where you have a little bit more space where you can do it safely, is really critical for people of all ages. But yeah, the losing people and all the trauma that we've had, and then not being able to just go and get a hug from your parents or other relatives and get some of that support. That has been an added bit of trauma for lots of us, young folks and older folks, for the past year. Much obliged for sharing, Paulette. Did we have other folks who had suggestions, comments that they wanted to air, questions, I guess, that they wanted to get in?
Hi, it's me again. I want to ask a question, or like if anyone learned anything from my Zoom and COVID and stuff.
This is Z in California. Your question about COVID, can you give it to us one more time, please, young lady?
What has everyone learned? Or anyone learned maybe they learned anything, or they learned any matching, something like that.
What have they learned? Is it either about COVID or since COVID? Just making sure I got it clearly. What have we learned about or since COVID?
Since COVID.
Okay. What have we learned since COVID? So that's been like a year. Like, wow. Let's see. If any of our young people, I guess we'll take anybody on this one, but if any of our young folks, what have you learned over the last year?
Is it like about like in school, or is it like just in general?
Just anything.
I guess I've learned that something I've learned is, I've learned how to go outside by myself more because I'm 13. I've also learned how to, get better at drawing. I've also been learning lots of stuff about space, too. That's basically it.
Astrophysicist. Wow. Okay. Any of our other young scholars, what have you learned since COVID? Might have been past their bedtime. I know for some folks it's, East Coast, it's 10 o'clock. Any of our other folks want to share what they've learned over the past year, you can feel free. I'm trying to think, whatever. I learned O.J. Simpson, according to the evidence, very likely is not guilty of those crimes he was charged of way back in 1995. That's been, I've learned that people will brawl and fight over corn dogs, toilet paper, all kinds of things if you put them under enough stress. It's been a lot over the last year. I could probably write down a list. Let's see. I've learned people don't know any white people associated with the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. That's been mentioned a lot since COVID-19 started, but I have not heard the name of one white person responsible for 40 years of medical terrorism. They only name a victim of racism. Those are three things. I learned how to cook lots. My goodness, how could I forget that? Whew. When COVID started, I was not doing as much. I was doing some veggie cooking, but since COVID-19, like, wow, I have made cakes from scratch. I made veggie brownies, like Z in California is not the only one I had. I made peanut butter veggie brownies. Let's see, what else? First time I made pot pies, all kinds of things. I made banana pudding with homemade cookies. I made pecan pie. Like, I really enjoyed my kitchen time to just bake and learn how to do more veggie recipes, Alfredo sauce and pesto sauce. Like, I've loved curries. I used my crock pot. Like, I have really, really enjoyed learning how to cook lots more things over the past year. That has been phenomenal. Any other folks, things they've learned over the past year?
Well, this is Iris. I'm still learning, but I have learned how to read several phrases in hieroglyphics. And I've also learned that the original term for hieroglyphics is the Medr Netcher. So I'm learning how to read, speak, and you could say even write the Medr Netcher, which is really cool for me because I'm a graphic designer and I like colors and shapes already. So that's been really, really exciting to be able to see things from 3,000 plus years ago and actually know what they say for myself.
Iris, still learning. Love it. Love it. Especially learning in things in your field that maybe can be incorporated. Graphic arts and such. Anyone else still learning? Thoughts on what they have learned since COVID-19? I know when we had our black male in China, he was with us twice in the spring of last year, right about a year ago, at the beginning of the COVID situation. He said he took his time to learn how to do additional computer programming, and he ended up getting a raise on his job based on some of the things that he learned during the COVID shutdown. So bravo for using your time well. I guess Z in California asked us this question. What have you learned since COVID-19 started?
I learned how to play the ukulele, and I learned a lot of new stuff with my mom, like about like school and stuff. And I learned. I'm learning right now how to speak Spanish. I'm learning how to be a contortionist. If you guys don't know what a contortionist is, it's like someone like really like flexible and like does a lot of like flexible stuff. You can look it up, but that's what I've been learning.
We can look it up. I love it. Contortionist. Yoga could help with that. You get the flexibility and stretching. That's amazing. We have a contortionist in training. I love it. Let's see. Oh, I can brush up. Did we miss someone? I'm sorry. Did we miss someone?
Oh, it's Josephine. I have a comment about something.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, they said something about like Zoom bombings. I believe I was in class, and I think something happened like that, where someone like who listed their name as someone from my class and started playing a video on like just the sound of like someone cursing and saying slurs.
That is so widespread. That's Josephine in New York. That has been so widespread for a year now. That's why we're reading about O.J. Simpson, people being on Zoom and behaving inappropriately, playing some sort of profanities and cursing and that sort of thing. That's all year long, it seems that, you know, lots of folks, as opposed to being constructive, trying to learn something, let me get on Zoom, see if I can learn a new language, or learn a new skill, or, you know, study some astronomy. No, I want to be non-constructive. I want to see if I can harass some people, and then much less go harass students. It's been so much of that. Like, people, students, we're trying to learn. I'm trying to get my, you know, grades together so I can graduate, move on, progress. Let's go disrupt them. Even college students, they've had cases where it was black college students who were trying to get their PhD, and the exact same thing. Random folks, hop in, let me call you some names, let me curse at you and be racist. Like, Zoom bombing. That's how we want to invest our time and energy. Get on my computer and harass and mistreat people, especially harass and mistreat non-white people. That is the world in which we live, system of white supremacy. Sorry you had to experience that, Josephine, but lots of that probably going to happen again, unfortunately. Get other folks, any other folks, what they've learned, or any other thoughts that they wanted to share, incidents they wanted to share before we wrap things up? Everybody good? Everybody good?
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter in Florida. Yes, sir.
Greetings, everyone. Yes, I have been in the presence of a lot of young people over most of my life, and one thing I found out is that based on the constructiveness of what I've heard on this program, there's always parents who need to be commended because it reflects what they try to teach their children. It reflects and I just wanted to make it be aware that kudos to all of the parents that on the program, based on what I've heard from the children. Would have been a hoot if I heard something from the attempted fathers, but I'm figuring that there wasn't any on the program today. But I'm pretty sure that's similar as far as constructive output with the children that's on the program. And just everybody keep doing what they're doing. And if you see that you needed to add on more, add on more. It's good to hear. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter in Florida. Also an attempted parent. Yes, very inspiring. The young scholars, the attempted parents. We had attempted mothers, and I guess attempted niece too, but same thing. Yeah, very inspiring hearing from everyone today, like people using this time constructively, even though it has been challenging in a variety of ways where people have, you know, lost family members and, you know, had to deal with those tragedies and then incompetency from the school where they're not really supporting children in the best way possible. And then just the mental health toll that this has taken on everyone and just trying to get through. Like, we've heard so many folks who seem like they are doing like phenomenal work in spite of just listening to the children themselves, they seem like they are doing a phenomenal job. So huge commendation to all of the attempted parents and all of the children who hung out, spent a little time with us this evening. Wow, you all are doing amazing work. I am so impressed, so inspired. Keep up the outstanding work. I hope all of you continue your healthy eating patterns. Like, wow, I can't say it enough times. Like, you are light years ahead of where I was at that age. Like, that alone is huge. Like, you keep hearing folks talking about comorbidities, and if you're not in good health, if you're overweight, and if you have diabetes and all these other things, like what you all are doing right now with eating well, exercising, doing the Taekwondo and getting your running in and all the rest of it, what you're doing right now is going to pay huge dividends and be so helpful in keeping you healthy and safe as you grow up, grow older. So yeah, if you all can continue that, keep those veggies, the cabbage soup, the black rice, the smoothies, the vegan brownies, like, keep it up. That is amazing. Like, A pluses to your attempted parents. And yeah, the contact. Oh, it sounds like everybody, if we can figure out a way to start getting some of our constructive social contact back, we will all be in a better spot. So yeah, hopefully we can make that happen soon. And yeah, we'll try and check in again if folks think it's constructive. Hopefully this will all be over soon. So, you know, it'll just be memories about how we got through all that, but perhaps we can check in again and see how everybody's doing after some months have passed, if it's either transitioning back to school or dealing with more of the same as things stand. Again, huge thanks to everyone for participating, making this happen, sharing your children with us for a little bit of time this Wednesday evening. Wow, it has been super inspiring and appropriate for Black History Month. We will be here tomorrow. Orenthal James Simpson. Reading is more important than watching television. That is one thing. Like, I have taken advantage. If you're going to be locked in, like some people have said, you can sit around, kick up your feet, and watch the O.J. Simpson trial on YouTube, or pick out, you know, some of the dozens of books that are written about it, or, you know, whatever. You can watch the FX series, the documentary, and all that. Study the O.J. Simpson case if you have some time. Like, wow, what a case study in racism, white supremacy. That's what will be tomorrow, and specifically one of the highlights of the trial. Orenthal James Simpson tries on the gloves. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. That's in the closing arguments, but I mean, got to try the gloves on for them to not fit. Tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Whew. It's going to be fun. Much obliged for everyone's participation. I hope it was worthy of your time and energy. Wowee, so inspiring. Phenomenal job to our attempted parents and attempted nieces. Wow, just I'm super inspired. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We need our brain computer. White people's poisons, narcotics, they are not going to help us solve this problem. We need clear, high-level thinking. In addition to being sober, I would say let's hunker down. Like, they're still talking a lot about the Capitol siege, and they've had a number of other militia type attacks. They had the Nashville bombing. Kyle Rittenhouse is on the loose. Like, I would hunker down. If you have to go out, you know, essential things, work, whatever it is, be alert. Be very mindful of what's happening around you. This is not a time to be kind of mindlessly moving through space. Like, I love it getting outside. That was one of the suggestions that we got. I love it. That is spectacular. Get outside if you can get to the park and all that, but be very aware of what is happening around you. If it looks like anybody, white person, non-white person, they're being hostile, rowdy, get away. You do not want to take any chances. We are very risk averse right now. There have been so many instances where something like that, just someone at first they were yelling and escalated, and it happened that they were armed. It's been lots of incidents like that. We should be thinking, hey, I did not leave the house. I came out here just to do some hiking, do some running, do some taekwondo at the park. I did not leave the house to engage in Mortal Kombat. I'm going to get out of here. If you want to call enforcement officials as you exit, great. But this is not about confrontation with, you know, random strangers. We are all about avoiding potential danger and folks who want to be hostile, because it seems like it's a lot of those type of folks right now. Anyway, we go out. We are buckled up, driver or passenger. We are sober. If you're driving, you're not on the cell phone. Again, just trying to do small things that we can to minimize contact with the Mark Furmans of the known universe. We're buckled. We're sober. Not on the cell phone. Just small things that we can control. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other Black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. No name calling. My goodness, you might have young scholars, aspiring young contortionists, aspiring young authors, aspiring young astronomers and astrophysicists. You do not want to role model name calling for our young scholars, and certainly not in Black History Month. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.